I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear, foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power of great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. Also, so when you see things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it's the first Sunday in Advent. The beginning of the Christian year. The start of the second holiest season of the calendar. And with that all said and the importance of it duly noted, I also know exactly what's on most of your minds. Don't make us sing those awful Advent hymns. We like the Christmas carols. We want to sing the Christmas carols, not the Advent hymns. It's okay. I don't like all those Advent hymns either. So I understand what you're thinking. But the truth is, it's not just the hymnody during this season that we tend to rebel against. Advent is, in and of itself, a very confusing time. It's like the rest of society finally gets it. Yeah, everyone's rushing around and they're talking about being happy and they're Walmart is playing Christmas songs. But we in the church? Well, it's like we're suddenly in this time warp. Between now and Christmas Eve, I promise you that there is not one word in the lectionary readings about singing angels, rushing shepherds, shining stars, and Mary pondering. The stories that we hear well, they're not about a baby in a manger or the Magi coming. The stories that we hear are all about sin and darkness. So while our hearts are set on hearing the good news of great joy, what we actually end up hearing are the gut-wrenching sobs of those whose dreams have been dashed against the rocks and whose hope has vanished. So it's not really surprising that on this first Sunday in Advent, we find ourselves standing with the prophet Jeremiah. He was, after all, the prophet who went to great lengths to keep our sins before us. That is why he's known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah. Here was a man who was living among some of Israel's most prosperous days. The king was making nice with the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were promising all this wonderful things and how wonderful their life together was going to be. And the people had more than enough. Even the poor people were being fed. It was a fabulous time, and all Jeremiah kept telling them was stop. The darkness is coming. You have to turn around and repent. And the people were going, you've got to be kidding me. Look at what we have. We've never had it so good. Even the Babylonians like us. And Jeremiah kept saying, you've got it wrong. You are selling your souls. Turn around, come back to God. And the Israelites were going, we are with God. There's the temple. We're there at least once a week. Synagogues are spreading throughout the land. What are you talking about? Come back to God. And then it happened. Babylon quit playing nice with them. And suddenly the entire nation was being cut off. And by the time Jeremiah wrote the words to today's reading, he was watching as people were being marched into an exile that would last for generations. Jeremiah's heart was breaking. He hoped that they would listen, that they would change their ways before it came to this. And now he was hearing children scream as they were being ripped from their parents' arms. He watched as spouses were being taken to different parts of the world, never to be united again. He saw the temple being destroyed before his very eyes. And he looked into the eyes of his friends, and he saw utter despair. And yet, even as he watched the world that he knew crumbling around him, Jeremiah suddenly becomes strangely optimistic. As everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong, he looks at his people and he says, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will be safe. And this is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. According to Gary Charles, Jeremiah was attempting to push the people to see a future, God's future, which seemed impossible for them. He was trying to remind them that although it seemed as though God had deserted them, God was there in the midst of their tears and their sorrow and their hopelessness and their helplessness. He wanted them to know that it wasn't ending. But it would be a long time, but someday they would return. Their lives would be restored, and hope would be theirs. And it happened, just as Jeremiah told them. And when the people came back, those who did come back were so excited. They rebuilt the temple. They reinstituted the laws of the covenant. They were faithful. for a while. And then they forgot. And 600 years later, the branch of David, the Lord Jesus, stood and he looked at his people and he saw the exact same set of circumstances. The world he knew was crumbling around him. Society was spiraling out of control and the people were headed for certain destruction. And as the darkness began to descend, the very one to whom Jeremiah had pointed looked into the eyes of those that he loved. And being a realist, he said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On earth, there will be dismay among the nations. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaking, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. And then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and with great splendor. And when these things begin to happen, stand up straight. Raise your heads, because your redemption is near." Christians, do you hear what's being said? Do you understand what Jeremiah and Jesus are trying to tell us? There are times when the world is filled with darkness. There are times when our lives are filled with brokenness and with pain. Sometimes we will suffer, not because of the sins we have committed, but because of the sins that others have committed. There are those moments when our hearts will break. But we do not have to succumb to the darkness. We can choose instead to put our faith in our lives in God's promises. We can choose to believe when it seems impossible. And we can live as people of hope when all others are hopeless. We can walk in the light. We don't have to surrender to the darkness. That's why people of faith choose to gather in places like this. It's why we gather around a table that's filled not with full elements, but elements that have been broken. Elements that reflect our lives. And it is here that we can be realist. We can remember the darkness of that night when the evil in this world overshadowed the goodness of God's love. It is here that we can also remind each other of the promises that will continue to light our paths and guide our ways. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. That's the promise worth remembering. It's a promise worth sharing. It is a promise that we can live into a reality. A promise that will give us a song that we can sing with the angels. The light has come. The light is coming. All hope is ours. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen.